Okay, we left off, we had gone through some of the technical shakamatari on this issue of Narishas, Arsa, Nisgarsha, but there's one issue which does not appear at all explicitly in the Gemara, but which is discussed by the Rishonim, that is worth noting, which is the Rush's Machlokes with the Rambam. Right, Narishas, Arsa, Nisgarsha, what did we paskin? Remember, we paskin, everyone agrees like Rabbi Akiva the Mishnah, Knasa La'atzma. What about Boshes Upgan? So the Rambam's Lashon is fairly clear. I saw in the back of the Frankel Library of David Rama, who wants to say, no, the Rambam didn't really mean it. But, his Lashon is pretty clear.
And the Rush on
his Lashon is, Habashin is Arsav and Isgarsha, Knasa Levado Le'atzma. Okay, that Levado, since really the Knas goes to her, because that's the special Zeres Knas Rashalo Rasa, but the Bosh of Gam would go to her father. Why? Because there's only Xeris Agassav by Knas. There's no Xeris Agassav by Bosh of Gam. Why did Bosh of Gam go to the father anyway? So that's discussed a little later on Daf Mem Amud Beis, the Shakta Vatariya. We'll just mention briefly. The Maskana is seven words. Dibay Masrla Lemanuval Mukashkin. Because the father could hand her over for marriage to a Menuval Mukashkin. To someone very, very unpleasant. Meaning, he has a financial stake in this, right? She can't marry herself off, but he could marry her off. He could marry her off to a prince and a rich person, but he could also marry her off to a lowlife and an ugly person. And and then, that would be a pagam in her, right? Because she would have to marry this fellow, and that would be a boshes for her. Because it would be embarrassing. So basically, he has a financial stake in this Boshes Upgam, and therefore the Boshes Upgam goes to him. That's what the Gemara says in Daf Mem Amud Beis.
But, I mean, the real question is, he's allowed to marry her off. He's not allowed to be Moser as a potato to somebody.
No. But Moser means in marriage.
Huh?
It means in marriage.
But we're trying to learn over to here where someone was Manaser, which is not...
But the assumption is, we'll have to get to exactly analyzing it, but let's say for now, the assumption is that, he could take a price for marrying her off for this Boshet Upgam, and now that someone else came who was Ma'anus and Rafat to her, he can't get that price anymore. Right? His financial stake has been damaged. Let's read it that way for now. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, well, Kenas comes from the Pasuk of Venasal of Yanara, and then there's Xeris Kenas Rishalo Rasa, so father doesn't get the Kenas. Boshet Upgam comes from the Svara of Venuvel Mukashkin, and therefore who cares about the Xeris Kenas? The Boshet Upgam still goes to her. And that's where the Rush argues with the Rambam. Who agrees with the Rambam? I told you look in the Ran. In the back of the Gemara, the Ran agrees with the Rambam here. says the Ran. Where was this part? Oh, there it is. Dibranas al chitan hamafata potter hainim davka mi knashu shalavi cholol machlo v'chayim litim boshu gam lovi. Later on, in the case of Naras Narsimis Garsha, says the knas is hers and she can be mochel, but the boshu gam goes to the father. Okay, that's pretty explicit that the boshu gam goes to the father like the Rambam. The Rush disagrees. The Rush disagrees, and the Rush says, The Rush disagrees, and the Rush says no. If the Knas goes to herself, the Boshes of Gam also goes to herself. Why? Because, in one word,
Hekish,
right? Because he assumes, no, there's a Hekish between Boshes of Gam and Knas. Where is there a Hekish between Boshes of Gam and Knas? Doesn't mention Boshes of Gam explicitly in the Chumash, but that's okay, you just go by where it's implicit in the Chumash. Right? We mentioned Tachas HaSharinah Miklal De'ika Boshes of Gam, or HaShochivim HaNashchivim Miklal De'ika Boshes of Gam, in the Parsha of Knas. There is a remez that there's also Boshet Upgam. A remez also counts the Hekesh. The remez of Boshet Upgam is next to the words in the Parsha of Knas, and therefore there's a Hekesh between Knas and Boshet Upgam. The Hekesh teaches us that whoever gets Knas also gets Boshes Upgam.
Whenever this Hekesh is brought up, it's always brought up with the part of Tachas Sharina and not Hanash Chim. Is there a reason for that?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Okay,
it's a good question.
When Tosafot mentioned it, and when the Rosh, then like it makes it sound like the Rosh is Tabadaka.
That is a good point, and the answer is I'm not sure. Okay, what is the Rosh's big raya? Well, the Rosh is Akasha then. By the way, the Rosh is all in Tosos, and Tosos in various places. I put some of them in brackets. But doesn't the Gemara say the reason the father gets Boshu Begam is because Ibai Masalom Nurum Kashchen? Not because it goes together with Knas. So how does the Rosh and Tosos deal with that? What did they answer? Doesn't the Gemara, why did the father get Boshu Begam? Is it because Ibai Masalom Nurum Kashchen, an independent Svara? Right, because it's up to him to, he gets money from the Boshes of the Gam anyway. Or is it because it's Hukash L'Knas and it goes together with Knas, right? L'misha Zenitan Zenitan. Whoever gets one gets the other. So the Gemara in Daf Mem Beis is explicit that it's an independent Svar of Menovel Mukashchen. So what does the Rosh say about that? So the Rosh says, and it's also in Tosfos in a few places, sorry. The Rosh says, yeah, we wouldn't have known the Hekesh until we had the Svara of Menovel Mukashchen. He buy Masim Menovel Mukashchen. But once we know the Svara, once we know the father gets it, because of the Svara of Menovel Mukashchen, then it gets integrated into the Hekesh, like we wouldn't have made the Hekesh if we didn't know the father got it in the first place. We would have said, what did the father have to do with any of this? Like, why make a Hekesh if the father's not Shaykh at all? But once we know the father's Shaykh, we just don't know in exactly what circumstances and what to do in all the borderline and questionable cases. Then we say, once we know the father's shayach, then we have a hekesh, and now it goes together with knas, right? Where is that in the Lashon of the Rosh? Says the Rosh here someplace. He says, umiyu nira de, etc., etc. Behind your time up, mishum the iskush la knas. And then he says here, v'had the parach hashas ve'im l'didav lo'min diskus knas. Why does Mem Beis to say, how do we know the father gets it? Why doesn't answer hekesh la knas? Why does that have to say yibay maslam nuvlam kashchin peirush ri in Tosus there? The davka bosu di adinushen la'av makshin luhu l'chol dinam l'gvias ha'av. We show how yakeshul lomav kinim inalam esvinu la'av. Only once we know they go to the father, then we include them in the hekesh. But we wouldn't have darshan the hekesh from scratch. But once we know they go to the father, once there's a reason they go to the father, there's a reason knas goes to the father for nasan lavianara. Once they're already similar, then we make a hekesh and make them 100% similar. And that's the so. If here we have the two basic shitas, right? What is the relationship between knas and boshes upagam? And here we have the, here we have basically, do we say there are two independent things? Or, right, the Rosh and Tosfos, they say they're a package deal. What's called, right, a hekesh. So, if you look at the original nafka mina we start with, is Nara Shenis Arsa Vinis Garsha. Here the Ran and the Rambam says that Boshes Upgam go to the father because it's not including the discussion of Shelo Rasa, and the Rush says goes to the father because it's a package deal. Meaning, Boshes Upgam is part of the Marechet, part of the framework of Knas. It's not an independent din that's just hinted at in Knas. The proof is the proof for the Rambam really is it says the reason Boshes Upgam go to the father is a svara, not a hekesh, right? Yibai masar la lenuval umukashkin. He could marry her off to someone embarrassing, which proves that the embarrassment is his. He has a financial stake in this embarrassment of this gun.
The Rosh says it goes to Avia. Does the Rosh say?
Yeah, obviously. That would be the same thing. La'atzma, like Viknas. Good. What did the Rush do with that? The Rush and Tosfos both. Tosfos and the Fem and Beis says the same thing. Sir. Tosa says, the Abigail, the priest, the elder Moshe, Gam, Hukshu, the Knas, even though it's a heckish, hang a buzzer, the Kimlan, Hafnav, the Kalavia. Only once we know it's the father's, meaning, once we know Knas goes to the Ab, and Boshes, Upagam, goes to the Ab, then we make the heckish. So yeah, at first we need a svara, but it doesn't. It always starts with a svara. Why does the father get Moshe Begam like he gets Knas? Because of a svara. But the question is, the Rambam says it starts with a svara and ends with a svara. And the Rush says, no, it starts with a svara, Rush and Tosos, but it turns into a... hekesh. What's the Rush's other proof? The Rush's other proofs are not so exceedingly strong. His next proof is... says the Rush, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. What does it say? It says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who follows Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah, it says, Nara Shenis Arsa Vinisgarsha, right? Mefata is Potter. The Mefata is Potter. Why? Because it goes to herself. Sorry, did I put that in the Rambam? Mishnah, Daf, Mem, Amud Aleph. That's the Rush's proof. It says, Nara, Shenis, Arsa, Vinis, Garsha. Mefata is Potter. Why is the Mefata Potter? Because it's her money anyway, right? She says, Arsma's Garsh is her money, according to Rekiva the Mishnah. And if she's Mefata, she agrees she's Mochel. So, Potter from everything. Why is he Potter from everything? It must be that even the Boshes of Begam is hers. And that's really not difficult at all, though, for the Rambam. The Ran just says, this is where the Ran is, says the Ran, here, this is what... Tosfos and the Rush answer says the Ran, no. The Mishnah only means Potter Miknas. It's really not such a good proof the Rush had. The Rush says, the Mishnah says Potter. Potter means totally Potter. So doesn't that show that it's all hers because the Boshes Lam Sukhus Knas? The Ran says no. The Mishnah says Potter means Potter Miknas. The main discussion of our parak is Knas. Boshes Lam is a side point in our parak. All it means is Potter Miknas.
I mean, the next Mishnah starts talking about Boshes Lam.
That's the next Mishnah. That's not this mission. Okay, the other proof that they bring, well, here's the other nafkamina. The other nafkamina, of course, is what about Nisbagra, etc., right? Lifnei Hamada Bedin. What's the din? What happens if the girl becomes a Bogeris or Nisuin or the father dies, right? Before her mother did. We know the knas goes to her. Right? The knas goes to her. So what about the Boshes of Begam? What about the Boshes of Begam? So, what did the Rush say? The Rush and Tosa says, right? Tosa and Daf Melech and Beis, and the Rush here, Tosa says, obviously the knas and the Boshes of Begam. And the Rush say that knas and Boshes and Pagam go to the girl. Why? The Knas goes to the girl because we know after her mother did, now the Knas goes to her. And likewise, the Boshes of Pagam also have to go to her. And simple shot. Why does the knas go to her? Well, maybe since it was a knas and it didn't really take effect until Mother B'din. By the time of Mother B'din, she was independent. Moshe the Begam, even though they're mamon and not knas, go along with knas. What do the Ran and the Ramban say? And the Ran say, no, the knas goes to her. But Boshes Upgam go to the father. What's the logic? The logic of the Ramban and the Ramban is very simple. Knas, you're only chayiv from Hamad B'din, right? Why? Because the knas takes effect at Hamad B'din. And at Hamad B'din, she was a Bogera, she was independent. But Boshes Upgam is Mamon. Mamon takes effect bishas maisa at the time it happened. You don't need Hamad B'din for Mamon. So therefore the Mamon, which was, took effect immediately, so it was the father's. The Knas, which doesn't take effect till Hamad B'din. By Hamad B'din, she's independent, so it goes to the girl. And what did Tosa the Rush say? So Tosa says, and the Rush says here, Tema, Tena Knas, Boshes Upgam, Monuhu, Da'achma, the Meba, Boshes Upgas, Boshes Upgam should go to the father, it's Mamon. And he answers, no. Iskosh Adad, because of the heckish, Boshes Upgam is always tuffel to Knas, always goes along with Knas. Now, let's look at the Lashon. Here we just have a proof. Let me read you the Lashon of the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth parak. And tell me whether it sounds like Tosfos and the Rosh, the Ramban and the Ran. Right? At first. Narish and Spata boast of Gomu Knasa Shalaviyah. That's our Betfusa. Right? The boast of Gam and the Knas of the Befuta and the Tsar also the Anusa goes to the father. Amda B'dinah Shalomisa Avrein Shalav. If the Amad B'din was while the father's alive, then they go to the father. Mesa Avrein Shalav. And if he dies, it goes to his heirs. Lo speak Amad B'dinah Shalomisa Avrein Shalav. But if she's independent because her father died before Amad B'din, it goes to herself. Likewise, Amda B'dinah Shalabagra. The Hamad B'din is before she was Bogeris. Avrein Shalav. It goes to the father. If the father dies, it goes to his heirs. Lowest speak Amad B'dinah Shalabagra. If she's Bogeris before Amad B'din, Hare Hain Shalatzma. Then it goes to herself. What's the diuk here? Which word here is the diuk? Hain. Hare Hain Shalatzma. Hain has to mean more than one thing, right? Hain Shalatzma. So doesn't that prove, right? This is probably the best proof of the Russian Tosfos. Right? Here is the proof. The Mishnah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, says, Hare Hain Shalatzma. Meaning, Knas and Boshes Upagam are hers, right? And it says Hain Shalatzma in plural language. Okay, what do the Ramban and the Ran do about that? Do they have an answer for that? What? So he actually has two answers, right? First answer is the Ramban and the Ran answer either A, Hain is two things. What's Hain? Knas Dimifate Uknas the onus, right? No, Hain means the two things, the Knas of Mifate or the Knas of an onus. It doesn't mean two things that happen to the same girl. No, it means two things in different cases. The Knas of one court case is Mifate and the Knas of another court case which is onus. Then he gets into a little trouble because if you remember we had mentioned this Mishnah and this Ron before for a different angle. The angle of is there Mechila if she becomes a Bogeris? Right? So if you say that Mefata is Mochel, then you can't give this answer. Because what do you mean Knas of Mefata goes to her and Knas of Onis goes to her? not so Pashut, because the Knas of Mefata actually doesn't go to her because she was Mochelit. So they say, it's still okay, it's still not a problem. Basically, I mean, it's not really an A, B, but either Knas of Mefata or Knas of Onis, and then they add, and even if there is mechila by the knas de mefata, which is a big discussion that we already discussed. It means knas de onus practically and knas de mefata theoretically. Right, so they get out of it. Meaning, Even if we say the mafata was mochel everything, he gets nothing if she grows up before Amadab did. It's still okay. You can still say every henchel of the knas of onus and the knas of mafata. How so? Knas of onus is hers and she collects it. Knas of mafata is theoretically hers, but since she was mochel, she doesn't collect it. But still, it means it's hers as opposed to the father's. Knas of onus actually goes to her, not to the father. Knas of mafata would go to her, but she was mochel, so it doesn't exist instead of going to the father. Okay, so the Ramban and Ran managed to answer up this hain and defend their shita.
Not just theoretically, we said in the case where she specifically says, I'm not mochel, then.
Correct,
then
or
he
you,
would be, so
correct. So you could even make an okemta, according to right, according to that Tosfos in Sanhedrin. Okay, now, basically the two shitas are pretty straightforward. What are the two pretty straightforward shitas? The Ramban and the Ran. The Ramban and the Ran say that Boshes Ugam really has nothing to do with Knas. Boshes Ugam has its own rules. It goes to the father because of a separate reason of Yibay Mosul and Lunuval Mukashrin, which has nothing to do with this parsha. I know it's hinted at in this parsha, but it's its own rules. And Knas has its own rules. The rules of Knas are Vanaslav Yanara and Ashalo Rasa, and we use all kinds of drushos. And the rules of Boshes Ugam is as far as Lunuval Mukashrin. And therefore, they have two nafkaminas. You notice there are only two nafkaminas, Narshan, Sarshan, and Sgarsha. Even though the Knas goes to her, the Moshe Gam goes to the father. And likewise, if she grows up before Amad Abedin, or becomes a Yisoma before Amad Abedin, even though the Knas goes to her, the Moshe Gam sticks with her father. As opposed to the Rosh Tosos who say, I know it looked like a Svara that the father gets, Moshe Gam. But once we have that Svara, we then fold it into the Hekish. And really, the Svara just tells us the father shaykh the Moshe Begam, and therefore it's part of Knas. It's part of the Parsha of Knas. Within the Parsha of Knas, Benasan Lava Yanara, Knas and Moshe Begam, it's all a package deal. And therefore, since it's all a package deal, whenever the Knas goes to the girl, such as Narsa, Narsa Mizgarshal, Xeris Akasov, or if she becomes a Bogeris, which Borja Tos is also Xeris Akasov, Tos will say, Benasan Lava Yanara, Blolavi Bogeris. Then the Moshe Begam follow the Knas. Okay, the only strange sheet to hear is, of course, the Rambam, because the Rambam seems to be very, very clearly on the Ran side. He says, no, Boshe Begam doesn't follow Knas, right? In our Mishnah, that's how the Rush started with the Rambam, right? Boshe Begam, Knas goes to her, because she was a Rasa, but Boshe Begam doesn't. The only problem is, when it comes to the Mishnah, Dachman Aleph and Beis, the Rambam is equally explicit. Right, what does the Rambam say there? He wants to take the hain literally. He doesn't like this duchic answer for the hain. Mefutu anusa shalo tava achibagro achanisa so achimesa av. Ha'arbad varmo ashlosha shala. Very clear, the four or three things the hain is shala. So here is the Rambam. Here is the Rambam. Right? The Rambam is very clearly on the side of Tosfos and the Rush there. Again, he just likes the Diuk of Hain, probably. You know, he thinks it's Dachuk to get out of the Hain like the Ramban and the Ran. Hain should be multiple things that happen in one case. Right? The Knas and the Boshe Begam. So the Rambam's a little funny. He's an in-between Shita. What's the nature of this Rambam's in-between Shita? So there are two basic formulations of the acronym. If you delve into it very, very deeply, which I hope no one has, then it becomes a little tricky to figure out exactly why the Rambam felt that this in-between, based on all the other Rambams we've seen recently, felt that this was the best pshat. But just on the simple level, what if the Rambam obviously thinks that for some purposes, Boshe Begam is similar to Knas? If she's a Bogeris, not only does she get her own Knas, she gets her own Boshe Begam. But for some purposes, Boshe Begam is dissimilar to Knas. Narsha Sarsha Mizgarsha gets her own Knas, but doesn't get her own Boshe Begam.
There are different cases,
for sure. Why should he differentiate? What is the differentiation?
Whether she's still in his Rishut or not.
Exactly. So, the simplest shot, this is what the the Or Sameach says, and this also Reb Chaim assumes in that piece that's on the new Makoros sheet. So what's pshat in the Rambam? So one pshat, this is what the Or Sameach and the Graf assume. I'm really not sure how much of a difference it says. Le'inyan yitzia mirshos ha'av, when it comes to the idea that he leaves Rishos of the Av. What are we talking about leaving Rishos of the Av? That's the Mishnah and Daf Mem Aleph. right? Bogeret, three girls, leave the Rishos of the Av, right? Bogeret left the Rishos of the Av. A Yesomo leaves the Rishos of the Av. And a Nesua leaves the Rishos of the Av, although only two of them are in the Mishnah. But we'll see on the Lamed Tes Lamed Aleph, right? I think after where we stop preparing for today, that it's clearly also from Nesua. Leniency of Rishos Ha'av. Boshes Upagam is like Knas. So when you're talking about she gets her own Knas because she left her father's Rishos, she's on her own Rishos, then she's in her own Rishos, she's in her own Rishos for Boshes Upagam also. But Le'inyan Stam Zeres Akasov, right? Narashin Sarsim Nizgarsha, it certainly has not left the Rishos of the Av. Narashin Sarsim Nizgarsha is just as much Rishos Av as any single girl. She has not left the Rishos of the Av at all. So Narish and Sarsha, even though while she was in the Sarsha, she a tiny bit left the Rishos of the Av, because now he can need the husband to help him do a first Nurim. Once she comes back, told him Rishos of the Av. When it's not Zeres Akasov, Boshe Supagam Einam Kiknas. So it's a basically they understand there's some like, you know, obviously you wouldn't say Hekish, because Ein Hekish Lemechza. But there's some comparison that there was some svara. When it comes to whether she's in her own rishos or her father's rishos, then if she's in her own rishos for knas, she's in her own rishos for everything. If she's in the father's rishos, she's in the father's rishos for everything. And that explains this Rambam. But when it comes to narashin zarsha and iskarsha, which is not leaving the father's rishos, it's just stam exeris akasov. For a stam exeris akasov, there's no hekish. There's no hekish to make them equivalent just when there's a stam exeris akasov. There's only a comparison that makes them equivalent for knowing whose rishos she's in. The Yamshel Shlomo, although his lashon is a little tricky, he makes it sound like it's a total svara, and I'm not sure why. The Yamshel Shlomo and the Kilas Yaakov take it a little differently. They take it a little differently. They say, there's no hekish or comparison. There's no hekish regarding who gets the money, gets the payment. When it comes to who gets the payment, there's no hekish, right? Therefore, if Narish Zarsim Nizgarsha gets her own money, she gets her own money. She gets her own knas. She gets her own knas. There's no comparison to Boshu Gam. For what person is there a comparison? But they are. Well, let's just. They are compared le'inyan regarding when. Let me make this a little sharper, okay? What they're saying is this. There's no hekish regarding whether the Av gets the payment, but they are compared. And here I use the word compared because the Kilas Yaakov assumes a hekish, while the Yamshel Shlomo sounds like a svara, regarding when the Av gets the payment. So they say it slightly differently. Leaning who gets the payment? No, there's no comparison at all. Who gets Knas and who gets Boshu Begam are totally unrelated. So Narish and Sarsha and Nizgarsha, just because she gets the Knas, she doesn't get Boshu Begam. The father gets Boshu Begam. But you know, when the father gets it, they are compared. So what do we mean? Does the father get it at Hamad Bedin, or does the father get it right away? Since the father only gets Knas B'Shas Hamad Bedin, likewise, the father only gets Boshu Begam B'Shas Hamad Bedin. That's because they say this is a question of when, not who. What do you mean? Is that a question of who? Before Bagrus, the father gets everything. After Bagrus, the girl gets everything. It's only a question of when. Do we give it to whoever was in charge at the time of the Maisa, or do we give it to whoever was in charge at the time of Hamad Bedin? Since Knas goes by Hamad Bedin, for when we compare them, Boshagam also goes by Hamad Bedin, so since she's a Bogeris or you're somewhere in the Suah by the time of Hamad Bedin, she gets her Boshagam. Okay, that's the two different ways of explaining this in between Shita of the Rambam.
That's basically a way of saying that the Boshes Begam take on the status of a Knas, right? And therefore they're Talian Shas Lamed Din. The Huzokha them is still independent Svara.
But they certainly don't take on the status of a knas for anything else, so that's why I'd be reluctant. That's why I'd be very reluctant. The truth is,
but then it's hard to justify what you're saying, no?
Correct, meaning both these svaras, I'm not sure, that's what I said. I'm not sure in either of these svaras, like why there should be so attractive svaras, meaning they're out there. They seem a little arbitrary. Now, what I would almost like to say, if not for the fact that this would contradict what I said a week ago, is that if you understand that the sheet of the Rambam is that really the father gets everything only from the girl, and therefore he should only get it when it's practical, b'shas amad b'din, then this second svara would make sense. It's not that it's only chal b'shas amad b'din. It's that the father has no involvement until it becomes a shvach de urim that he can actually collect. The only problem is that's against the lumbus that I wanted to include in the Rambam earlier. So that's what leaves me a little bit, you know, leaves
but
work
really
for the next generation.
Yes, Yaakov, what he's saying is that we're tying the boshes of Bagam in this particular case to knas. Normally, if there would be boshes of Bagam, it would clearly be immediately from when it happened, and it would go to the father. But that's going back to what the Ron is saying up there, that they're tying together boshes of Bagam to knas, that they're tied together. So he's using the same thing as up there.
Yeah, he's just doing it halfway. You're right, meaning it's an in-between hekesh. Le'inyan, if something doesn't depend on time, it's just a status of nisarsim and nisgarsha. I mean, I'm just going to repeat myself. I don't know how to explain myself. He is comparing it. Le'inyan, whether we look at shas amad v'din or shas maisa, we, most of the tails along with knas. But le'inyan, when there's no difference between shas amad v'din and shas maisa, it's just like, we want to know who gets it, then Moshe Begam is independent. The svar is not entirely obvious. You have to take one of these two ways of explaining the in-between shita of the Rambam. And now I think we're ready to go on to the Gemara. So, going on to the Gemara, Daf Lamed Chesed Beis, we say, first thing we say is, Amar Abaye, Bo'alo Mesa Pater. Remember, this is not a case we've discussed until now. Mishnayos, later on, discussed what if the father dies before Amad B'din. That's not a bias case. That's an easy case. The father dies before Amad B'din, she now enters her own reshus, and she gets the money. How much money? Was a machlokas. But what if she dies before Amad B'din? So the answer is, Abai says, Potter, Shenev, Nasan, Lev, Yanara, V'lo, La'avi, Mesav, and Nasan is referring to the time of Amad B'din, right? That's when you're ready to chayiv to give it. You give to the Avi Nara, the father of the Nara, and not to the father of the dead. The father of the Nara is a live person, not to the father of the dead person. Milsa did pshita le'lavayi b'ayi le'lerava, but that which was pashat ravayi was an ibayi le'lerava. D'bayi ravi yish beggar bekever or ain't beggar bekever. Can a girl become bulgaris posthumously or not? Let's say she's 12 years and 3 months old when she dies. 3 months later, does she become a bulgaris or not? Right? Do you say, nope, bulgaris is a, the way that Ron explains, bulgaris is a physical process. It's a state of physical development. Once she dies, she doesn't physically develop. She can't be bulgaris. Or do you say, no, bulgaris is a legal time limit. There's a 6 months till Bagrus, from Naris to Bagrus, and once those 6 months elapse, even if she is not physically, she no longer has a physical body, she's still a bulgaris. What's the nafkamina? Yesh beggar bekever, meaning she's dead anyway. Who cares if she's a bulgaris or not? Right? She can't collect the money. Normally, a bulgaris gets the money, and if she's not a bulgaris, her father gets the money. She can't get the money. Right? So what, and who's her closest heir? Her father. Right? So what's the difference if she's a bulgaris or not? If she's not a bulgaris, her father gets the money. If she is a bulgaris, then her father's her yorish, and her father gets the money. So the answer is if she is a kid, yesh beggar bekever, she's not happy. The nafmin is if she's a kid. If she becomes a bogeres, right? Again, what happens? She's anusa or mefuta. She's 12 years and 5 months old. A month goes by before Amad B'din. So, of course, it's only before Amad B'din we care. She becomes a bogeres bekever before Amad B'din. She counts a bogeres or not. If she counts a bogeres, then it's her money, not her father's, and her son inherits her. Odama ebegar bekever, they'll be happy. Or maybe there's no bagras bekever, she's a nara forever, and if she's a nara forever, the money goes to her father, not her son. So that's the machlokas, it's going to her father or son. That's the rather than the suffix. The Gemara says, no, that's not a valid enough meaning, because she can't have a son. Mimi Abra, how could she be pregnant and have a son? But Tani Rabbi Kamri of Nachman, Shol Shanos Risham Shapamoch, Rabbi taught a Bryce in front of Nachman that 3 women, here it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosa, which we'll come back to, but this is its own big sugya,
either three women are allowed to use a mocha. Mocha is a birth form of birth control, which is, you know, well, it's not clear what kind of birth control it is, but three women are allowed to use a cloth for birth control. And according to Rabbi Tam, it means three women are obligated to use birth control. Okay, we'll stick with Rashi for now. Three women are allowed to use this birth control method. Eluhein, Ketana umuberes umeinika, right? A Ketana and a pregnant or a nursing woman. Ketana shemzavram, a Ketana, because if she gets pregnant, she could die, and therefore it's important for her to use birth control. Umuberes shemtasu brasando, and a pregnant woman, because maybe if she engages in tashmish without birth control, we're not exactly sure how to explain this up in modern science, but, and it's even though we've shown what it means in the original Talmud context, but somehow the sperm might get into her uterus and cause damage to the fetus, and the fetus will get sandal, will get squished. Meinika shematigmo lesbana, and a nursing woman, that happens nowadays in modern science also, right, if she gets pregnant, then she will have to wean her child, she won't be able to nurse anymore. And then it could be sakana for the kid if he doesn't, they didn't have formula yet in those days, so it could be sakana for the kid if he doesn't have a mother to nurse him. When is this katana? When she's between 11 and 12 years old. But younger and older than that, she can have normal tashmish with no problem. Why? Under 11, she can't get pregnant anyway. There's no danger. Over 12, she gets pregnant, she'll survive. And there's no danger. Only between 11 and 12, she's old enough to get pregnant, but not old enough to handle the pregnancy. And it will be a sakana, and she will die. I'm saying no. Either way, they can just engage in marital intimacy normally without birth control and not worry about it. And oh, but Takana Hashem will protect them, as it says, Shomer Psaim Hashem. Hashem protects the foolish, or at least those who do not care for themselves. Okay, this is also an interesting question. I mean, this is not, you know, what we're used to in the halacha, really? You should just get into danger and Hashem will protect you? Okay, so we'll deal with that also when we come back to this part of the sugya. But for now, obviously, this is a tangent. So what do we see here? That she cannot become pregnant and live and have a baby under 12. And if you say, okay, but older than 12, maybe she can marry after that she was 12 and then had a baby. But remember, she wasn't a Bulgarian yet, because that's a question of beggar whichever. Maybe she, while she was a Nara, she got pregnant, and while she was a Nara, she had a baby before she became a Bulgarian, and then she died and went up to this beggar whichever. No, you can't give birth after only 6 months of pregnancy. And Shmuel says only 6 months from Nara to Bagras. And if you say no, when Shmuel says there's only 6 months from Naras to Bagras, means it's at least 6 months. But maybe there could be more than 6 months from Naras to Bagras, meaning what's the Avmina? Maybe when she becomes a Nara, she needs to develop more physical signs of sexual maturity to become a Bulgaris. And it could take 6 months or more to develop those signs. But maybe it could take a year to become a Bulgaris. So great, she became pregnant exactly at 12. 12 and 9 months had a baby, but she wasn't yet a Bulgaris, because it could be more than 6 months. No, ha'eloka amar. Shmuel says, ein benaris lebagris, elo shish chadashim. If he had said, there is 6 months, we might have said at least 6 months. But he says, there is nothing but 6 months. Meaning, clearly, there's no less than 6 months. So therefore, if she got pregnant when she was a ketana, she would have died. If she got pregnant when she was a nara, she would have had the baby after being a Bulgaris in more than 6 months. So it can't be a Nara who dies with a baby, so therefore, that can't be a valid question that Rava had as an Ibaya.
Do they even think of bringing the Teretz that she could have gotten pregnant when she was a Ketan and given birth when she was a Nara, and it's the birth which can kill
her? Okay. So the Rishonim discussed this based on the Shakla Tari and Yevamos, and we'll get back to it.
Okay.
But the simple pshat anymore is that no, they mean if you get pregnant as a ketana, and that's the maskana of most of you, so if you get pregnant as a ketana, then you automatically die, even if you don't give birth till you don't, you're not, the gestation's not completed until you're an hour. Okay, we have to have an entirely new version of Rav's Ibaya, right? Because since a nara can never die with a baby, then who cares if there's beggar bekever or not? If she's a bulgaris, it goes to the father, and if she's herself a goes, she's a nara, it goes to the father. So Ella, Hachim Bailey, this is Rabbi's question. Is beggar bekever paka av, or duma ain beggar bekever velo paka av? This is his question. There really, she has no son, but there's still an afkamina. If there's bagros bekever, then
the Av disappears, the Av doesn't inherit her. Why doesn't the Av inherit her? Pashup Shat. After all, he is her closest heir. It's a Pashup Shat in this Gemara.
But she, it has, the Chiyuv is on her, he would get it as heir. But if there's no Chiyuv to pay to her.
Right, basically, what you're saying in different words is that there's no Yerushan Kanas before Amad Vadin. Right, if she dies, she becomes a Geras Bekefer. Now, yes, the father can Yorish. The father can Yorish Mama. He can't be Yorish Knas. Oh, but if there's no Beggar Bekever, she's still an Ara, and the father gets the Knas on his own. Right? So therefore, that's still a valid question. Yes, Beggar Bekever, Paka Av, but the main Beggar Bekever, Lo Paka Av. Mar Baravashi, Boy Lohachi. Mar Baravashi had a different. There was nothing wrong with that version, but he had a different version of Rav Zibaya. Misa Osebagras, O Ain Osebagras. Does. Not. Until now, we thought the Ibaya was if she dies, and then the 6 months, 12 years and 6 months come. Now he's saying, no, does dying make automatic bagrus or not? Maybe even that waiting time. When she dies, she's automatically considered a bogeris. Does dying make her, why is she automatically considered a bogeris? The simple shot is because, what's the importance of being a bogeris? What's the nachmini of being a bogeris? When she becomes a bogeris, she, yotze rishos av. So when she's dead, you know, b'mesim chafshi. No, what is she? What rishos is she in of anyone? She's dead now. Maybe when she dies, she's automatically a Bogeres, meaning she's not in the Rishos Av anymore. She's in the Olam Amis. Oh, Enos of Bagrus. Or, no, does death not, Misa not make, the Misa, the father makes Bagrus, right? If the father dies, she's not in his Rishos anymore. What about the Misa of the girl? Does that automatically make her Bagrus in her own Rishos? Or does it make her in the father's Rishos? And what is the more answer? Teku. Okay. Now, does anyone have a...
Yep,
okay, great, thank you. There's a Pashup Shat in this Gemara, and then there's a Reb Chaim. So, Abayi said, "V'nasan la'avi anara v'lo la'avi mesa." Right? Milsa de pshita la'abaye, boy la la'rava. So, I think all the mafarshim agree, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, that when the Gemara said milsa de pshita la'abaye, mi boy la'rava, it was referring to Mar Barav Ashi's version of Rav Zibaya. Right? Not yesh beggar bekever, in beggar bekever. That was not pshita la'abaye. It was referring to the question of Misa Osabagras or Ein Misa Osabagras. What did Rava say? Lefi Mar Bar Rav Ashi Misa Osabagras or Ein Misa Osabagras. In which case, what does Abaye hold, right? What was an Ibaye to Rava is Pasha to Abaye. What was Pasha to Abaye? What was Pasha to Abaye? That? Which one? That Misa Osabagras. Right? And that's what, that's the Pashat. What does Abaye hold? Abaye holds Misa Osabagras. Right, that's Pashup Shat and Abaye, Misa Osabagras. Meaning, what's the drasha? The drasha is, V'nasan lavi anara v'lo lavi mesa. Because mesa is like a bogeris. That's the drasha. Yeah, and that's basically what Rashi says. He doesn't say it in quite these words. And Nirasa Marbar Rashi says, Lo boy to Ravish of Beggar Bekever, Ella makes of an Arusa, me paka ki bagros, me chayim olo. Lahaitlish and Marbar Rashi, Aliba de Rava, Amr le el Milsa, Shitla, Abayim boy le Rava, Dilish the Kamim, Shitla, the Rava, Misa Lomafka, the Loka, Baye, calls Mash Lobra, the Chi coming by, the Beggar Bekever coming by, Level of Misa, calls Mash Lobugger, Polygon of Agron, Lomafka, Bechayev, right? And the Lish the Kamar, Rava says, the Misa itself does not take her out of the Shasav.
That's against Abaye. Because Abaye holds the Misa does take her out of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so that's Abaye, and this is, according to the Pashup Shot in the Gemara, that's what Rashi seems to imply. Tosfos actually also hints at this. If you look at just the last line of Tosfos before the Dimrasal Tsar, I know we're not up to that yet, but what is he darshin? Vinasa lavi anara, darshina lavi anara, vlo lavi bogeris. He says it's not just Vinasa lavi anara, vlo lavi mesa. It's also Vinasa lavi anara, vlo lavi bogeris. What's Pshat? It's the same drasha. Vinasa lavi anara, and not to the avi of someone who's not a nara and left Rosh Hashanah. How could she be not a nara and leave Rosh Hashanah? She's a bogeris, she's not a nara, and if she's dead, she's not a nara. Okay, this seems to be Pashup Pshat in the Gemara, and Rashi and Tosfos, he holds mitza osa bagris. Rav Chaim comes along and makes trouble. Basically, what's the svara of Abaye? What's the svara of Abaye? This is Miso Sevagros. This is the Pshat in the Gemara, and this is the implication of Rashi, and the implication of Tosfos again. Why Rashi? Because Rashi kept saying, in the first lashon of Rabbi, the old Misa did not take her out of Rosh Hashanah. That's against Abaye. Rashi's saying, Abaye holds Misa, takes her out of Rosh Hashanah. And Tosfos, who darshes, v'nesla v'yanara, v'lo l'avi mesa, v'lo l'avi bogeres, is clearly equating misa bagras, misa osa bagras. It leaves, takes her out of Rosh Hashanah, misa osa bagras, right? Umotzia mirshus ha'av. Rav Chaim has a problem with that. What's Rav Chaim's problem with this pshat way of reading the Gemara? Anyone? What does Rav Chaim have against the pashup pshat way of reading the Gemara? What?
It seems that I argue that.
Why? Abaye says Misa Osa Bagras, right? Lavi Anara Vlo Lavi Misa. And Rava says he's Mesopic.
Abaye never said Misa Osa Bagras.
Okay, but couldn't that be his Svara? The Nasa Lavi Anara Vlo Lavi Misa, couldn't that be a reasonable Svara? Okay, but it could be. So his problem is the Rambam. What is the Rambam saying in Aleph Tesvav? Ba Leha Umesa. What does Rav Chaim say? Here's Rav Chaim's problem. Says Rav Chaim, if so, then Mesa is like a Bogeris. Lefi HaRambam, let's remember Lefi HaRambam. Who remembers Lefi HaRambam? What was it in a Bogeris? What goes to her if she's a Bogeris? What does the father not get according to the Rambam? Right? Which means, if so, then Lefi Rambam, the father loses Knas and Boshes and Pagan. Because the Rambam holds she becomes a Bogeres, right? And that way, because like Tosfos, the Rosh against the Rambam and the Ran, that when she becomes a Bogeres, when she enters Rosh Hashanah Atzma, not only does, before Amad V'din, not only does the father lose the Knas, the father loses Boshes and Pagan as well. But what did the Rambam say? Says, problem is, what does the Rambam say? Baleo Mesa, if the person was honest and father of the girl and then she died before Amad Abedin, Hariz a potter mina knas, he's potter from knas. Shinemra, Benasana, Isha Shochi, Malavia Nara, Velo Lavia Mesa, Usha Thomas, Kodesh Amad Abedin. What's the diuk in the Rambam? He says, but, diuk in the Rambam is that potter min haknas, but the father does get boshes upagam. It's a diuk in the Rambam. The Rambam says potter min haknas in this case, according to Abaye, right? He's quoting Abaye. How do we know he's quoting Abaye? He says shenemar v'nasan ha'isha shochim la'avi anara v'lo la'avi mesa. Right? That's clearly quoting Abaye. The Rambam quotes Abaye and says you're potter from knas, but seems to imply the father still gets boshes upagam. But then it doesn't make sense. If she left her shasav and she's like a bogeris, if miso is a bagrus, then according to the Rambam himself shita, we're not discussing from the Ran shita, we're discussing from the Rambam shita, then it does make sense. That's Rav Chaim's problem. That's Rav Chaim's problem with the pshat read of the Gemara. If Abaye holds she leaves her father's rishus, not only should the father lose Knas, he should even lose Boshes of Pagan. And therefore, Rav Chaim makes a big chiddush. Says Rav Chaim, B'das HaRambam, he says no. He says, Abaye can't hold Misa Osa Bagras. Because if he held misosa bagras, the father should also lose bosa begam, according to the Rambam Shita. So rather, what does the Abaye hold? It's not because misa ose bagras. Rather, he says, it's exeris akasov. It's not that she leaves her sister the father. Rather, it's that it's exeris akasov. What's exeris akasov? Here he has two possibilities, if you recall. It's either a a tour from paying the father. It's very subtle by the time he gets through with it in the last paragraph, the difference between them. Since it's not that she leaves the father's trust, it's just a tour. There are some things that are just ptur. Like, for example, Narish Nisarsim is Garsha, Lefi, Rabbi Yosef Glili is just a ptur. Maybe it's just a ptur from paying the father. Or a loss of the father's rights but not a loss of the father's rights, but not an entrance into her own rishus. He says either it's just exeris akasov, he's pater from being the father, he's pater from gas, but he's not pater from boshu begam, or it's that the father loses the rights to knas. It's a subtle difference. But since it's just a loss of the father's rights and it's not that she goes into her own rishus, therefore, if we go back to what we had on the last board, if it's just a ptur exeris akasov, or if it's just the father loses his right but she doesn't change rishus, then boshu begam should not be compared to knas. Remember, the Chaim said boshu begam is only compared to knas when she enters her own rishus. But she doesn't enter her own rishus. And therefore, what does he say? Since she is not Birshus Atzma, Boshes Ubegam is not like Knas, so the father keeps Boshes Ubegam just like Nara Shenis Arsa Vinis Garsha. Again, all the dots are Rambam. I'm not talking about other Rishonim. Right? The Rambam made a distinction. Boshes Ubegam follows Knas when she enters her own Rishus. But if it's just Exeris Akasov, then Boshes Ubegam does not follow Knas. Here it's just Exeris Akasov. Whether you call it Exeris Akasov that he's punter for paying the father, or Exeris Akasov the father has no right to collect the Knas, since it's just Exeris Akasov and not an entrance into her own Rishus. She's not Rishus Atzma. Why is she not Rishus Atzma? Because she's dead. How can a dead person be Rishus Atzma? She doesn't have Rishus Atzma. Right? Therefore, it's like just exeris akasov of Knas, and Boshu Begam doesn't follow Knas. So therefore, he's pater from giving Knas to the father, but he still has to pay Boshu Begam. That's where Chaim's tremendous fish. Now, we just have to fill in. What's the milsa de pshita? Right? He has one thing. He says, what is Shita la Abaye then? And here, I don't know if you get a chance to look in the brackets, the Rav Chaim Hilchos Nachlos has a different approach, but we'll stick with the Rav Chaim here. So what's Pshita la Abaye? According to the mainstream shop, Pshita la Abaye Misa Osa Bagras. According to Rav Chaim, no, it's not because Misa Osa Bagras. So what do you have to say? What is Pshita la Abaye? Pshita de Misa Eina Osa Bagras. It's exactly the opposite of the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, says Rav Chaim. It's Pshita de Abaye that a Misa doesn't make Bagras. How do we know it's Pshita and that Misa doesn't make Bagras? Because the Miyot is V'nasan La'avi Anara that he doesn't have to give the father. You can only have a Miyot that he doesn't give the father if it should belong to the father. If she's Bishus Atzma, how can you have a Miyot not to give the father? The father's not Shaykh anyway. So it says, why? Because if she was a Bogeres, then there couldn't be a gzeiras hakasov not to give knas to the av, because the av is not shayach anyway. He has the exactly opposite shot. He says, obviously, Misa doesn't make bagras. Because if his shot is that, it's just a gzeiras hakasov doesn't go to the father. You can only have a gzeiras hakasov doesn't go to the father if she's in the father's rishus. She's in the father's rishus, but he doesn't get knas. Okay, but that proves she's in her father's rishus, which proves Misa doesn't make bagras. So Reb Chaim interprets this whole Gemara pretty much the opposite from the pashut pshat.
He has to therefore hold that there's no way the knas is from shas maisa. Knas must be the hamat din, because rishas maisa always would fall apart.
Correct, which he writes there explicitly. Now, I'm going to skip some details. This is the basic idea. So there are basically two radically different ways of reading Abaye. I admit, if you look in the Grach and the Chosnach, you'll see somewhere in between. But we're not going to deal with this. Now, the Pashup Shat way of reading Abaye is that he holds Misa Osa Bagras. The whole point of Abaye is that she's now in her own Rishus. And that's why the father doesn't get Knas. Reb Chaim, because of this bullshit of Begam problem, read the whole Gemara a little backwards of what everyone else thinks. He says, no, Abaye doesn't mean she enters her own Rishus. Abaye means she's still in her father's Rishus, or at least she didn't enter her own Rishus, but the father still loses this right. Al pi gzeiras hakasov. Right, just the subtly different. Is it just a pter from this particular payment, or is it a loss of the father's control over this? But either way, she's not in her own Rishus. She is not in her own Rishus. Just a gzeiras hakasov. Ah, if she's not in her own Rishus, just a gzeiras hakasov, based on the model in this Arsim Iskarsha from the previous board, then what's Pshitut Abaye? Ah, if there's a gzeiras hakasov that the father doesn't get the money, it must be she's not in her own Rishus, because if she's in her own Rishus, what's the happening the father should get her money? Why do you need a gzeiras hakasov? Again, Rashi tells us that the gzeiras hakasov is about being in her own Rishus. But he says, no, Abaye assumes she's not in her own Rishus. Just a gzeiras hakasov, the father loses the money. because, say even better, because she is the Baal Dover, not the Av. Right? Pini, if she was in Rome, Rishus, how do you make Zerus Akasim not to give it to the father? Who's the father? He doesn't exist. Must be she's still in his Rishus. She's not in her own Rishus. Again, the subtly two different formulations. She's still in his Rishus, just Zerus Akasim to her, or she's not in his Rishus when he lives, but she's also not in her own Rishus. But she's not in her own Rishus, and that's why you need Zerus Akasim. Okay, is Reb Chaim right? Is Reb Chaim correct? Meaning, it's definitely not pshat in the Gemara. It's a very lumdish, like, fancy pshat in the Gemara. But does he have a good proof from the Rambam?
I mean, it's all based on whether it should retroactively go to her. That's Reb Chaim's premise. He assumed that it all retroactively should go out to her.
Okay, that's fair enough. Meaning, he has a model. Meaning, if Misa Osa Bagras, we know what happens in a Bulgaris. We know that she gets the Knas and Moshe Begam, and the father doesn't. So the later Achron point out, and Reb Chaim deals with this a little, it's not a little, he's aware of this, and compromises, that really it's not necessarily such a problem. Really, Reb Chaim doesn't have such a strong kasha. Right? You could say it's not a problem. Right? The later Achronim say, it's not a problem. Why? Misa Ose Bagros, you could take the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. And therefore, the Boshes Upagam go to the girl, but, where's the girl?
She's dead.
She's dead. What happens to the money you owe someone who's dead? If I owe someone money and they die, what do? I pay their Yorshim. Who's the Yorish of the girl? The father. And Boshes Upagam is Mamo, not Knas. Right? You could be Yorish Mamon. But since Boshes Ubegam is Mamon, not Knas, it goes to the Yorishim. And the father is Yorish. So he gets them anyway. Right? Now, Reb Chaim knew this, and this he deals a little enough. It's not close, which they're not mean or not. But basically, the later Achonim are not impressed by Reb Chaim's diuk in the Rambam. They say there's not really a deep mukhruch in the Rambam. There's not a necessary diuk in the Rambam.
But then that limits it to almost the gam, though.
Exactly. Which is exactly the diak of the Rambam. He doesn't pay knas, but he does give the father moshe begam. Remember that with the diak? Right. The father does get moshe begam. Not that the father gets moshe begam because he still deserves the moshe begam. No. He gets moshe begam because she's a vulgaris and she gets the moshe begam. But since she's dead, it goes to her yorshim. The father's the yorish. And even though you can't be yorish knas before a mother b'din, you can be yorish mamun before a mother b'din. So that's what the leader of Harim say to be doka Reb Chaim. So you don't really have to say Reb Chaim's shot in the sugya. You could take the sugya kipshuta, the misa osabagras, according to Abaye, and even explain the Rambam that way. Once she's dead, she's vulgaris, she's out of the father's shos begam, right? There's no knas, because the knas goes to her and you can't inherit knas. But the father gets moshe begam, not as a father, he gets moshe begam as a yorish. He doesn't get moshe begam as an av, he gets moshe begam as a yorish. But that's fine. That's fine. The Rambam didn't say he loses Moshe Begam because he just gets it as a Yorish instead of the father. Okay, Reb Chaim Yom Nachos deals with, are there nafkaminas between getting it as a Yorish and getting it as a father? And according to the Rambam, but quite possibly there are no significant nafkaminas. Oh, yes, that's two ways of reading Abaye in our Gemara. Reb Chaim's interesting way, which is possible, but I just don't think it's mukrach in the Achronos, don't think it's mukrach in the Rambam, because you could say even the Rambam matches the Pshat way of reading the Sugya. Okay, now we're ready for the really tough part of this sugya. Who took the last picture? No? Okay. Let's analyze this Gemara a little further. Right, this is the question of Tosfos Maskil Yesh Beger Bekeder. Right, and this is the famous part of this sugya. This sugya is famous. Tosfos Maskil Yesh Beger Bekeder is famous for the following reason. Not because of how to understand the drasha of Abaye. That's one Reb Chaim, otherwise no one talks about it. Because of this question of Tosos, let's go to remember there are three stages in the Gemara, right? Yesh Beger Bekever Dibna Havi and the Av Havi. Yesh Beger Bekever Paka Av and Lo Paka Av. And then Miso Osabagras. Let's forget the Miso Osabagras. Let's stick with Yesh Beger Bekever. Remember there are two stages to Yesh Beger Bekever. What made us go from stage one to stage two? A technical problem or a fundamental problem? What made us abandon the nafkamina of the son and go to the nafkamina of Paka Av? That technical problem. The technical problem is she can't have a son. Like, meaning, we had no lundish problem with the Ibaya, just technically she can't have a son, so we had to change the nafkamina. Okay, that's also important to realize, right? If there's only a technical problem that makes us change our mind, then al pi lundus, we should be having the same shitas, right? The problem is we don't. Why? Stage one in the Gemara. Stage one, or we can call it the, right, Hava Mina. If there's Yesh Beger Bekever, or Ein Beger Bekever. Ein Beger Bekever is obvious, right? If there's no beggar, then the Knas goes to the father, right?
Pashut, right? But why?
Knas goes to the father. In stage one, if there is beggar bekever, who gets the knas?
No.
No, stage one in the Gemara. Oh. Yesh beggar bekever, veh? Dibnahavi, right? Meaning, the knas goes to the Nara, and the son inherits from her.
Right?
I mean, obviously the son, it never says you give to sons in the pasuk, right? That's the suffix. If there's beggar bekever, it's her knas and her son inherits her. If there's no beggar bekever, then it's her father's knas, right? Because Avi and Ara.
What's the maskana? The maskana, remember, the only thing that changes is that she doesn't have a son.
So what's the maskana? Yesh beggar bekever. Any beggar bekever, the knas goes to the Av. No problem. But Yesh Beger Bekever, what's the maskana? If she has no son, what's the maskana in Yesh Beger Bekever?
No knas.
Then, right?
Paka Av.
Oh, Paka Av. Why Paka Av? Because the knas goes to the Nara herself, and
why doesn't the father inherit it?
Knas.
Because in Yerusha, the knas, right? Obviously, I mean, Kodim.
Now, this is the problem all the Rishonim have, and Achronim. In the beginning of the Gemara, when she had a son, we said, if there's Beggar Bekever, it's hers, and her son inherits. in the end of the Gemara when she doesn't have a son, if there's beggar bekever, it's hers, and her father doesn't inherit, her father is paka. What's pshat? I don't understand. Remember we saw machlokes in the Yerushalmi at the very beginning of the year? Right? Is knas happen right away? You just need a tnai of amad b'din, and therefore it's already chayiv and you can inherit it. Or no, knas doesn't exist until amad b'din, therefore you can't inherit it. The person themselves needs amad b'din. Okay, hold on a second. But our sugya at the beginning seems to assume you can inherit knas before amad b'din, right? Yesh yerusa b'knas. Kodem hamad b'din. I always say before hamad b'din, because after hamad b'din, the guy owes the money. Shine. So when it's her son, he can inherit her. Then in the end, where she has no son, what's the nafkamina? Yesh beggar b'kever paka ab. Why shouldn't this father inherit it? Ah, because you don't inherit knas. How can our sugya? Remember, our sugya didn't say, oh, let's change our mind about knas. No, our sugya just technically said she doesn't have a son. So why all of a sudden we change our mind from whether there is Yerusha B'Knas or there isn't Yerusha B'Knas? It's a stira mineu bay in the same sugya. That's a valid stira, no? Is that not a valid stira? So, sorry. That's the dion of Tosas Mesel Yesh Beggar B'Kever, right? V'im Tomer, Hechi Matzim Yerushadim Oresh Tastav Naha, Eino Nemorish Tastav Bonav, Kedam Rina Reish Perik Nara L'Kaman, Uv'Samach Nami, okay, he also brings in Reish Perik Nara L'Kaman, but even worse, Uv'Samach Nami, Amar, Yesh Beggar B'Kever, Upaka Av, V'Adam, Morish Knas, Yesh Beggar B'Kever, Nami L'Paka Av, V'Helo Mitor Sirusha, right? If there's Yerushan Knas, then why is Paka Av? And if there's no Yerushan Knas, why is it the Vnahavi? Valid question, right? Now, Tosus points out, though, that there's not only a problem in our sugya. There are other sugyas all over Shas that weigh in on this. And I think I gave once at the beginning of the Makor sheet a few main Rishon about this, but we didn't really get into it properly. I just mentioned, oh, there's some will say this, some will say that, and some will say the other thing in between, without getting into the sheetas. What is the Gemara? If you ask Gemaras, right? Ha'im, you know, Adam, Morish, Knas, right? Kodem, Hamada B'din, right? Yorish, Morish, same thing. Is there Yorish by Knas? So there are three sugyas about this in Shas. I'm not talking about Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi seems to have a machlokas about it. In Bavli, Ksubos, Lamechesem and Aleph, Lamechesem, Deis, Lamechesem and Aleph is an internal stira. Within this sugya itself, we have an internal stira. What are the other sugyas in Shas that the Rishonim bring in? What? Baba Kama, Ayin Bezim and Aleph. And we explain why it's an internal stira. What does it say in Baba Kama, Ayin Bezim and Aleph? It says, has a case where a guy steals from his father. A guy steals from his father. It seems to be a pretty good deal in this Gemara. A guy steals from his father. So if a guy steals from his father, okay, look. One second. Where's the brisa? Eisig, Gadam shall Aviv, Tavachu Machar, Yacharchem Eis Aviv, Mishal Toshlumi Arba Vachamisha. If he steals from his father, does Tvichu Mechira, and then his father dies, he pays, Dalad Behe. Right, and they say, okay, maybe that's only a Mad B'Din. Let's go to the next one. They say, Maishna Risha, Maishna Seifa. Why is it in the Brisa, if he steals from his father, Tovecha Mocher, and then his father dies, he's Chayiv. If he steals from his father dies, then it's Tovecha Mocher, Pater. Amalei, Risha, Karina, Yitzvachel, Kulubi, Sura, Seifa, Lo, Karina, Yitzvachel, Kulubi, Sura. The Risha, he steals from his father, right? And he's Tovecha Mocher, totally Usser. Then his father dies, he owes the Dalabehe. The Seifa, he steals from his father, and then his father dies, and then he does Tvicha Bechira. By the time he's a Tzvichu Mechira, it's partially his, right? He's one of the kids who inherits from his father. So since the Tzvicha Mechir is not totally Usr, he's Potter from Dal Vehe. But what seems clear here? What seems clear is that he stole from his father died. He has to pay a knas. If he already did Tzvicha Mechir, he has to pay a knas. If he didn't yet do Tzvicha Mechir, then he doesn't have to pay Dal Vehe, but he theoretically might have had to pay Dal Vehe, and he has to pay Kefal. Who does he pay the knas to? His father's dead. Who does he pay the knas to? His brothers. Hold on. That means his brothers inherited the knas that was owed to his father, right? So there, what does it say? We see that Tavach, sorry, Gonav Mishel Aviv V'Tavach Umachar V'Achar Kach Meis Aviv Mishalem Dalet Vehe Gonav Mishel Aviv Umeis Aviv V'Achar Kach Tavach Umachar. He would pay Dal Behe, except for, right? He would pay Dal Behe, right? He would pay Dal Behe, but he is potter because of the drasha of Utvacho Kulo Beisura. Since his Tvicha wasn't totally usur, because one fraction of it belonged to him, it was only partially stolen, but partially was his, because he inherited his father, so they respond. But you see, Be'ikaron, what's the basic point? The basic point is that that there is Yerusha Beknas. Right? Because he does have to be Knas to his brothers in the Risha. In the same way, he would have to be Knas to his brothers if not for a Ptor, and it seems like he would have to be Kefal to his brothers, just not Dal Behe. Right? So that seems to prove there is Yerusha Beknas. The third Gemara is Ksubos Mem Beis Amud Beis. What is it saying? Ksubos Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. If you just, you could turn to Ksubos Mem Beis Amud Beis. I'm totally already quoted, so hopefully we looked it up. But we can find the line. We need a little context. The context is a bias to question from Rabbi Amud Aleph. What about after Hamad Badin? Is it Mamon or not? Amr Lay Mamona Habi. Rabbi says after Hamad Badin, it is Mamon. And at first we thought he meant you're only Chayiv Kurban Shvua. What do you mean by Kurban Shvua? Like a Kurban if you swear falsely about money. What's the halachic code word for that? A carbon, if you falsely swear about someone's money? Hashem. Shvuas HaPikadon. Right? That's the parak Shvuas HaPikadon. Shvuas HaPikadon means if I have someone else's money and I deny that I have it and I swear, deny that I owe them and I swear that I don't owe them and I lie, then I have to bring a carbon. What do we call that carbon, David? Hashem Zelos, right? Meaning Shvuas HaPikadon and Hashem Zelos are referring to the same halachic inyan. Shvuas HaPikadon is what you did to have to bring an Asham Zelos. And Asham Zelos is what you bring if you did Shvuas HaPikadon. Right? So Asham Zelos, that's right, we just learned 2 days ago in the Parsha, so it's still fresh in our memory. So, again, Anamad Aleph, Abayis Rabbah. Clearly in Knas, if I said, oh, you're my Anish and Fatima, my daughter, you owe me Knas, and you deny it, then no carbon Shvuah, because it's not for Knas, only for Mamon. What if I say, I say, not only did you do it as a fatah, I brought you a hand, a mother of a din, and they passed in your chayim. Now give it to me. And the other guy swears that's not true. Right? What's the din according to Rishimon? Do we say now that the chayim carbon shvuah after a mother of a din? And he answers, Mamona havim chayv li carbon shvuah. No, after the din counts as mamon, and now you're chayv and ashem zelos. Okay, what does that have to do with us? Nothing till we get to Amud Beis. And Amud Beis, they're mafrich that, and they say, I don't know exactly where to,
I guess parallel to the third line of Tosfos Maskil Lo, it says, Umodina lach leini karvish shvudar chana padmi mechifish. No, either way, everyone admits you're not chayv in ashim gzeilos. V'chifim yin mamon havi. What did I mean, Rava says, when I said after mamon bedin it turns into mamon? It stops being knas and turns into mamon. Lohobisho lebanav. Ah, that now you can be morishit. Meaning after mamon bedin, now you can be morish lebanav. Right? After mamon bedin, there's Yerusha. Then the Gemara just asks, according to Rosh Shimon, okay, that's not true about the Knas of Anara, but okay. It's very first Gemara. After Hamad of Adin, it's Mamon Laharisha Labanov. What's the very obvious Diuk? Before Hamad, it's not even Diuk, before Hamad of Adin, you can't be Morish Labanov, right? So that's what it says, right? Achar Hamad of Adin. Have a Mamon Leharisha Labanov. Okay, that's very nice after Hamad Abedin. The obvious thing is but before Hamad Abedin. It's not Mamon Leharisha Labanov, right? But the obvious conclusion is that before Hamad Abedin, there is no Yerusha B'Knas. So now, even besides the internal steer and Subos, Daf Lamed Ches, the third parak, there's a steer between the fourth parak of Subos and Bava Kamma. Okay, how do you answer the steer between the fourth parak of Subos and Bava Kamma? I don't know, which should we start from our saga? Should we start from the fourth parak of Subos and Bava Kamma? Tosfos mixes and matches both of them in our saga. Right, let us, okay. Let's start from, the internal stira in our sugya. How do you answer up the internal stira in our sugya? So, basically, what are the two basic drachim? The two basic drachim to understand the havamina and the maskana, okay, this part is the same, that's not important, is, one there could be really, on the Morish Knas Lebanov. In which case, the Havamina makes sense, and we will answer up the Maskana. Or the other option is to say, Eino Morish Knas Lebanov. In which case, the Maskana makes sense, and we will answer the Havamina. Okay, which of the Mefarshim take which approach to answer up our sugya? Anyone?
Well, Tosfos says that you cannot be Morish.
Tosfos, do you remember who in Tosfos? Really, was
the Ri.
The Ri said he was one of the primary, I mean, lots of other Rishonim also. But the Ri says you cannot be Morish Knas Labanov. Ah, the end of the sugya is right. The end of the sugya is right. Ein adam morish knas lebanav paka av. If you can't be morish knas lebanav, what are we talking about at the beginning of the sugya? So, sorry. Before we get to the reading, the Gemara said, what does Tosfos say? Let's read in Tosfos. The Gemara says, "Hegemat zemishin moritz knas lebanav ha'ein adam morish knas lebanav k'dam reina reish perik nara lekama and v'samach nami amar yesh beger b'kever paka av v'yad the morish knas yesh beger b'kever lama nami lo paka av v'hei lo midrash yerusha umiyah he did v'samach yesh lidchos the nafkaminim he chayevas la'achirim dim yesh beger b'kever paka av av agav adam morish knas the notam bali chovos from ein beger b'kever ein notam bali chovos klom de lo paka av knas v'shalo. The low shalah. So first of all, is yesh lidchos. Yesh lidchos sounds like he doesn't really think that's true, right? He doesn't want it. He doesn't think this is true throughout Shas. Yesh lidchos means in our sugya we could have given this answer, but I'm not really going to because I don't think that's the truth. I'll leave it to emes lahalacha. Why? Because this is saying that there is morish knas and he doesn't think that's true. But the Meiri holds like the yesh lidchos of Tosfos. What does the Meiri say? What? Oh, sorry, thank you. The Meiri says, and this is the Yesh Lidchos in Tosfos, just Tosfos doesn't like it because he doesn't want to pass in that way. What do we say? Really,
there is Yerusha by Knas. That's why it says, if there's Beggar B'Kevra and she is a son, it goes to the son. Ah, so then why doesn't it go to the father? So what? A bit of a lundish pshat, as the Yesh Lidchos and the Miri say. What do we mean by Paka Av? Says the... If there really is Yerusha B'Knas, what are we going to say here? One, the Meiri and the Yesh Lidchos, which tells us just he doesn't want to pass that way. What do they answer? What does Paka Av mean? Does Paka Av mean he's not Yerush the Knas and he doesn't get the Knas? What does it mean? Exactly. It's a lundish Paka Av. He says, Paka Av just means Av Zoche. If the Paka Av, sorry, he says, Paka Av just means Zoche Bitoras Yoresh Velo Bitoras Av. He does get the Knas. Paka Av doesn't mean he doesn't get the Knas. Obviously, it's a bit of a, you know, Mechudesh Pshat in the Gemara. Paka Av means he gets the Knas. If he gets the Knas, then why do you say Paka Av? It means he doesn't get the Knas as an Av. Meaning, Benasan La'avianara, he gets the Knas as a Yoresh. What's the Nafkamina if he gets the Knas as an Av or he gets the Knas as a Yoresh? So Tosis fills in. What, after all, who cares, right? If there's no Nafkamina, it's not a good Pshat at all. What's the Nafkamina if he gets Pshat as, if he gets Knas as a Yoresh or as an Av? That's not what Tosis says. That's not what Tosis says. That gets back to our issues of Mechila. But the, exactly, Nafkamina. Then Nafkamina. Libale Chol Shelah. If she has creditors, what if she owed money? So, if the father gets it as an Av, then he gets the money. I don't care if she owed money. It says, Maslavi and Ara, this is my money. But if the father gets it as a Yoresh, then hold on a second. A Yoresh only gets the estate after the debts are paid. If a guy passes away, what does the court do? They don't just give his estate to his Yorshim. They first pay off the debts and then give what's left to the Yorshim. So therefore, there could be an Afkamina. What if she's getting the Knas of 50 Slaim, and she happens to have old borrowed 50 Slaim from the neighbor? Then, Paka Av means he doesn't get it as an Av, so it'd be his 50 Slaim and tough luck on the neighbor. No, he gets it as a Yoresh. So the neighbor gets to collect from the estate, and he gets nothing. So there actually could be an Afkamina. And the Meiri actually poskins this way in our sugya.
He also says about
Okay, the Meiri, this is, Tosfos doesn't. You're right, depends if we're dealing with the Meiri or with the Yesh Lidchos. If you look in the Meiri's Lashon, he says, there it is. Okay, but then he has a problem with this, right? So the truth is, first of all, this is a, says, ve'eno nachlin, yishim machla bito, ve'eno nachlin, but he doesn't like the Mechila Nafkamina, right? Why doesn't he like the Mechila Nafkamina? Because he says it was never really hers to be mochel, because at first she had a father, and when she died, and she was bagrus, then she was already dead and couldn't be mochel. So that's very subtle, meaning it's hard enough to say she can be mochel at all when she has a father. Remember, we already dealt with that. Could she be mochel if she has a father, and as soon as she stops having a father, she's dead and can't be mochel? So he doesn't like the mechila nafkamina. Let's put, or maybe, the ulai gam, in machla, but that's a little tricky to say her mechila should be chal. Because by the time she's Bogeris, she's dead. So it's a little hard for that Mechira to be Chal. And that's why the Meir doesn't like the Mechila Nafkamina. The Chov Nafkamina is much better. Now, if you want to know if this Bali Chov Nafkamina is valid or not, Ayin in the Rav Chaim Hilchos Nachlos, that was in the brackets, he had a long discussion, but that's already beyond what we're going to discuss now. Let's go on to Tosos. What does Tosos say? But Tosos doesn't like this approach. Tosos wants to say that really, I mean, this is a great approach. It's a little lundish in the Gemara, right? He says, Paka Av doesn't mean Paka Av, it means Paka Betoras Av. He's still a Yorish. It's like a brisker reading of the Gemara, which is good. But Tosos has the opposite orientation. So what does Tosos say? Tosos says, V'yesh lomar d'ha'cha havi mati lakshuyeh v'ha'im oreshet naslevna el da'difa minei parech. Okay, what does Tosos say? Says, yes, really, the Havamina was stupid.
The Havamina was stupid. What do you mean there's no Havamina? There's no Yerushin Knas. Ah,
so why didn't they point out the Havamina was stupid? The answer is they had a technical problem with the Havamina anyway, because she doesn't have a son. So, why bother to point out that there is a conceptual problem and a technical problem? They just pointed out the technical problem. That's called Havamatzi Lamekshe. They could have asked. So really, he says that the Havamina is wrong, and they could have asked. Meaning they could have said, what do you mean did not have me? There's no Yerusha by Knas. But instead they chose to ask the technical question, like the whole question was based on the deal of that. If not for the technical question, the Havamina makes sense. Tosfos says no. Even without the technical question, the Havamina doesn't make sense. The Havamina doesn't make any sense. They could have just said it made no sense. But they'd rather say technically it can't even happen. What did the Ri say? The Ri has a tremendous finish. Says the Ri, Sugya, my Ri, Bibosha Subagam. Says the Ri, he rereads the whole Sugya. You think this whole Sugya is talking about... You think this whole Sugya is talking about Knas? No, it's all talking about Bosha Begam. It's not talking about Knas at all. It's not doing Knas at all. It's only talking about Bosha Begam. And so if it's only talking about Bosha Begam, then it has nothing to do with Yerusha's Knas. Because we're not talking about Knas, we're talking about Mammon. Of course, what do we have to assume? This is the Russian toast we had on the board. If it's only talking about Bosha Begam, then who says that a Bogeres, the father of Bosha Begam, who says that Nasan Lavi and Arla Lang Mesa refers even to Bosha Begam? So he says, What does it say? He says, but I hold there's a hekesh of knas to Bosha Begam. That's my shita. Remember from the two boards ago. So if there's a hekesh of Bosha Begam to knas, shouldn't that mean that there's no Yerusha by Bosha Begam because it becomes like knas? He says, no. Everyone admits Moda Beknas Potter, Moda Bosha Begam is Chayev. Bosha Begam, no one thinks it's hukesh to knas, so it becomes knas instead of Mod. No. What's the hekesh of Bosha Begam to knas? Lemisha Zenita, Zenita. The hekesh they're given to the same people. But one is Knas and one is Mammon, and therefore, even the Bali Tosos who hold, and really, you have to hold the Hekesh in order to follow Shabbat and Sugi, even though the Hekesh of Knas to Bosha Begam, that's Le'inyan who gets it. Le'inyan, whether it's a Mammon or whether it's Knas, there's no Hekesh, Bosha Begam is Mammon, and therefore, our Gemara was never talking about Yerushin Knas in the first place, and it's no problem. Okay, then we have Aval Hiksha, Rivam, Deha Amrinan, Bimruba. Etc. He asked the question from Baba Kama, right? He starts bringing Kol Tor Kula, right? and we'll have to pick up with this Amir Tzashim next time. Okay, so remember we're in the middle of what we're going to do next time is finish up these Makoros and make sure we get down all the shitas on how to explain the Gemara in Baba Kama, how to explain the Gemara in the fourth Perek, and how to answer the Stira in our Gemara. And maybe I'll add a few more Makoros. Just about this whole machlokes, yesh Yerusha b'knas, ain Yerusha b'knas. Right? Anyone here learned by Rav Lichtenstein? How many ways would there be of explaining what they're really arguing about? Two ways, Yerusha or knas, right? That's classic methodology. Are they arguing about Yerusha or knas? So maybe I'll give a few more makoros about whether they're arguing about Yerusha or knas. And that obviously ties into the Rochanan, if anyone's seen it yet. And we will, on Thursday, we will also just finish up till the next Mishnah, the end of the Gemara here, and then next week, we will not go on to the next Mishnah, we will go back, the Shalosh Nashim Mishamshes B'mo, and get into the Lundas of that Sugya. After Pesach. Okay, so basically on Thursday, we'll finish this Sugya and finish the 10 lines we have left till the Mishnah, without getting into the birth control yet.
That's by 12 o'clock.
And then after Pesach, we'll start by going back to the issue of the Shol Shnashim Shabbos Momo, and then continue and finish up the Perek. One very important announcement, that on Thursday, due to a bris, on Thursday, Shir is going to be pushed off till 11:30, late Shir on Thursday, so apologies for those, for whom it's not convenient, and I do feel bad. I have limited flexibility. So I will see everyone else in Mirza Shem at 11:30 on Thursday.